I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to speak tonight on the subject, the character of our labor. The theme is, our labor is not in vain. Our labor is not vain. And as I was thinking about that theme when it was given to me, and I don't know about you, but whenever you get themes and you want to preach on those themes, that's a bit of a challenge for me. It stretches me a little bit because it forces you to go where you might not choose to go. And it did that very thing for me. And so as I was just thinking about just the wording of the theme, the language of the theme, the emphasis of it on our labor, the first thing that came to my mind is, what is the nature of that? When you talk about our labor in terms of ministry, knowing that I'd be speaking to pastors and their wives, and many of you have been in ministry for many years, maybe some, just a few. But as we think about the labor that God has called us all to, what really is the character of that labor? What is the nature of that, we might say, from God's perspective? Now, many of you know that the Apostle Paul, when he was saved and he reflected on his salvation, there was a point when he said that God saved me for at least one purpose that he was aware of. Aside from all the church planting, aside from all the things that he did, aside from being the author of a majority of the New Testament, he says, one of the reasons I know God saved me was to be a pattern for others, to be an example for others. And if that's true, and God allowed him to say it, so it must be true, right? He allowed it to be inscripturated, that testimony. And so the testimony must have been true, it must have been accurate, that one of God's divine designs in saving the Apostle Paul was to serve as a pattern and as an example for us all. And, you know, I like the fact that God did that for us. You know, sometimes when you try to measure your life against the life of Jesus Christ, that might, it does me on an occasion, it kind of overwhelms me because that just seems so unattainable. It seems so far away. The standard just seems so high. But God in his infinite wisdom saved a man made of flesh and blood just like you, just like me, and he saved him to be an example to us. And so whatever the Apostle Paul was able to accomplish through his life and through his ministry is actually attainable for any one of us. He's made of the same stuff. And so as I think about this theme tonight and as I begin to kind of address it, and I have two other messages where I have the same opportunity, I really want us tonight to just discover the character of that labor. What is really the nature of that labor? When we say our labor is not in vain, I don't know about you, but for me, that word labor kind of captures not only my ministry, but it captures my life. Because it's one and the same. Life is labor, ministry is labor, and really that one word brings those two things together. It brings my life and it brings my ministry together, and it's all caught up in that word labor. So as we think about just that one word tonight, and that's all I want us to think about, just that word labor. Well, that's not a fun word to focus on, right? Because that has that word smells like sweat. And we don't like sweat. I don't think you sweat much around here. It's too cold to sweat, at least today, maybe yesterday, right? But as we think about that word and as we try to answer the question, what is the nature of that labor? What is the character of that? What does that look like? I want to take you to the testimony of the Apostle Paul as he nears the end of his own life and ministry. And as he nears the end of his own life and ministry, he's looking back on it, and he's talking about it, and he's kind of looking now to his own departure, and he's looking forward to heaven, and as he looks back on everything that took place in his life and in his ministry, he says certain words that strive to capture it all. And I think those words, that testimony, defines for us what really is the nature of that labor, the character of that labor. So, you're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I want to bring your eyes down to that 7th verse. We'll read verse 8 as well, but here's what Paul says. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And it's the first part of that testimony that I'm interested in when he says this. When he's looking back on his life, he's looking back on his ministry, I mean the totality of it all, he characterizes it this way. I fought a good fight. Paul, how would you describe your life ministry? As you look back on it and all the ways that God used you and all the churches you planted and all the lives you influence and all the people that you discipled and all the persecution that you faced, all the suffering that you endured, how would you describe all of that? Well, he says, I would describe it this way. I fought a good fight. And as I thought about that testimony, that kind of summary statement, as he reflects on all of that, I began to become interested in those words. I fought a good fight. And here's what I learned. It could be literally translated this way. I agonized a good agony. How do you like that? I mean, literally, you look at the words behind the word fought and the word fight. It's the same Greek word, and it translates into our English word agonizing. And so when he looks back on all of it and he describes it and he characterizes it and he summarizes it, he says, my whole life in ministry, I would summarize it this way. I agonized a good agony. So I want to think about that tonight. Because I think that really does describe our labor. It is agonizing. Now, as I was sitting there even tonight thinking, or about, I was sort of thinking about my message while he was preaching his a little bit. Not the whole time, but I did get most of what you said. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know what? This is not just a summary statement of his whole life and ministry, that word agonizing, but there's a sense in which it's a standard too. And I thought, you know, if you're doing it right, this is what it feels like. If you're doing it right, this is what you experience. If you're in the ministry and you're doing it right, you're doing it in a God-pleasing way, and certainly the Apostle Paul, we all would say, did it right. Now, he wasn't perfect, but he's an example. And even a human example, as found in the Apostle Paul, to me, is still a high standard. You know, I used to think I'd like to hang around him. You know, hang out with the Apostle Paul. You know, somebody says, you know, who do you want to, you know, be around when you get to heaven aside from Christ. And I used to think, well, I want to hang around the Apostle Paul. But you know what? I don't know that I really want to do that. I don't even know if I would have wanted to be a co-laborer with him. And you say, why would you not want to do that? It's the Apostle Paul. Here's why. Because probably I would be saying on a regular basis, you know, Paul, you're going too far with this. I mean, really? I, you know, he says, there is much opposition there. Let's go. I don't know if I want to hang out with this guy. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Wow, high standard again. And I just have a feeling if I were to hang around him, I would be constantly saying, you know what, you're a fanatic. By the way, you know what a fanatic is in terms of Christianity? For us today, it's biblical Christianity. If you just practice biblical Christianity in this day and age, certainly from the world, but even from among some of our own, we would be viewed as fanatical. And so I'm not sure I'd want to hang around him, but I think he's a wonderful example for us tonight. And this is the way he summarized his life and ministry. He said, I agonized a good agony. And so let's focus a little bit on that word tonight. And if you'll go to Luke chapter 13, and we're just going to kind of make our way, I guess you could say, through a word study tonight. In Luke chapter 13, in verse 24, Luke 13, verse 24, it says, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. That word strive is our word. Agonize. And so it could be literally rendered this way or read this way. Agonize to enter in at the straight gate. And what's he talking about except our salvation, right? He's talking about the salvation experience. And he says that even to be saved, it requires agonizing. It requires agony. In order to be converted, you had to agonize. You had to strive. Agony is required to enter even the kingdom of God. There are many seekers, few strivers. Now, there have been some who've gone to that very verse, strive to enter in the straight gate, and they preach a work salvation on the basis of that word strive, and they say, there it is, work for your salvation. But I think it's interesting as you make your way through the Gospels that when you run in, especially into the life of Christ, that it seemed like he was trying to talk people more out of getting saved than into getting saved. Do you ever notice that? You know, we try to talk people into a decision, but when you look at the Gospels many times again, the Lord is trying to talk people out of decisions. And so all these people coming to him, inquiring about salvation, and he says to them, listen, if you're going to accept Christ, you have to hate your relatives. Well, that's not very attractive if you're trying to talk somebody into something. Or, you remember that middle-aged businessman that came to Christ and what Christ said to him? He said, if you're going to accept Christ, here's what you're going to have to do. You may have to lose absolutely everything and not even have a pillow to lay your head on. That doesn't sound like a very inviting invitation. He also said, if you're going to become a disciple of Christ, you're going to have to take up your cross, deny yourself, lose your own life, forsake all. These were the conditions to becoming a disciple. And you can see, if those really are the conditions, it would require some agonizing. Agonizing over what you value. Agonizing over what you really want in life, whether it's in this life or the life to come. Agonizing whether or not you want to forsake this in order to obtain that. And so truly, the Bible representation, even for a person to come to Christ, it all starts out with this word, agonizing. There is this abandoning and embracing that is required for a person to come to Christ. Well, take your Bible now and go over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Familiar verses to us all, but it says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Agony is the course of every Christian. You realize that when you come to the Word of God, basically the idea that you need to run with endurance, that's our word, agonizing. If you're really living for Christ, it is agony out there in the world. You know that this word agonizing, agonizai, there's 19 times that it occurs in the New Testament, and there are basically four groups of people that it refers to. One time it is used of Epaphras, and we're going to see that in just a bit. A second time, it's in reference to that great cloud of witnesses here in Hebrews chapter 11. It's used in reference to them. And then it's also used of the Lord Jesus himself in the garden. But it's most often used of the Apostle Paul. Most often, it is referring to something about him and his life and his ministry. In fact, seven times that word shows up in relationship to the Apostle Paul. And what we learn here in Hebrews is this. Not only does it require agony to enter into the Christian life in order to be saved, but listen, it doesn't change after you get saved. You know, God has not promised that once you saved, life's going to get easier for you. In fact, there's a sense in which biblically he says just the opposite, that once you get saved, it's going to get harder. It's going to be agonizing. And that is the course of every child of God. And I don't know about you, but there are many people, even myself, that sometimes there's something in me that wants to avoid that course. I want to avoid that agony. There's something in all of us that believes that everything should be well and good. In fact, we're entitled to it sometimes. I was sharing with the church yesterday that there was a season in my life where I thought that because I was a pastor, that there were certain things that was off limits for God. And because I had given my life to serve him and entered into the ministry and we all have things that we can tout before God and say, here's why you need to do this and don't do this. And I was trying to use my calling, God's calling on my life, as leverage, thinking that somehow life should be smoother for pastors. How many say amen to that? Anybody say, yeah, I could go for that. That somehow it ought to be smoother for me. It ought to be easier for me. Why? Because look what I'm doing and look what I've given you in my terms of my life and my calling. And I remember having that conversation. And then the Bible goes on to say, listen, don't think it's strange when you face these fiery trials in your life. That's our course. That's what Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 is suggesting. You enter the Christian life and it's agonizing, and you continue on the course of your Christian life and it too is agonizing. And so in very general terms, here's what we've learned so far. Paul says, I have agonized a good agony. That's what it is. That's our labor. That's our life. That's our ministry. And we've learned in very general terms that it requires agony to be saved and that agonizing is part of the Christian life. But I want to fine-tune this thing. I'll sharpen the pencil and make it even a little sharper. And I want to suggest to you that, in fact, agony is involved in every struggle and aspect of the Christian life. Everything. I was listening as we opened our time in prayer, and two brothers prayed, and one of them, I think this brother right here, was praying, and he was talking about all the things that we do in ministry that is not in vain. Remember that? He said, look, when we evangelize the lost, that is not in vain. When we preach the word, that is not in vain. When we seek to help another brother or sister in Christ grow in Christ-likeness, that is not in vain. And as he was saying that, I was thinking, you know, every single one of the things that he just named that is part of everyone's ministry, the Bible says involves agonizing. Let me prove that to you. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 says this, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." And he says, pursue all these things. Pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. And he couples with that, agonize the good agony of faith. That's our word. That's his way of saying, if you are going to pursue Christian character in your own life, and if you're going to help other people pursue Christian character in their life, you're going to have to agonize the good agony of faith. It's going to be agonizing to do that. Everything in our nature fights that. Do you know that our flesh never calls it quits? You know, There's something inside of all of us, men and women here tonight, that the Bible says cannot be made subject to God's law. That's ugly. In other words, it doesn't get better. I don't care how long you've been saved, your flesh doesn't get any better regardless of how long you've been saved. Your flesh is your flesh. And it resists God's law. It cannot be made subject to God's law. In other words, there's something inside of you and something inside of me that never wants to do the right thing. Your flesh didn't bring you here tonight. Your flesh is never going to lead you to open your Bible and have time with the Lord. Your flesh is not going to say, "Let's pray." Your flesh is never neutral about anything. It weighs in on everything. I could put a $20 bill in front of you, and your flesh is going to already come up with ideas as to where that ought to go. And I could go on and on and on. There's something inside of us that is against the Spirit. The flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh. And when we're pursuing Christian character, no, it's no wonder, right, that it's an agonizing thing. And oftentimes we describe as the enemy as somehow being out there. You know, Satan and the world, but I don't know how it is with you, but my greatest enemy is not out there. It's in here. It's me. It's what I struggle with every single day. It's my attitudes. It's my words. It's my thoughts. And it is an agonizing thing to pursue Christian character. And it's an agonizing thing to help others do the same. We have a ministry in our church. It's called FTL. It's Freedom at Last. It's similar to Reformers. Some of you might be familiar with RU and that kind of thing. And every Friday night of the world, we have about 100 people who come to our campus who are struggling with all kinds of addictions and problems and nasty stuff. And I'll tell you, it's an agonizing thing to come alongside those folks and, one, seek to bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. But even after you've done that, to help them grow into the likeness of Christ. He's talking about building a building. Building lives is nothing like building a building, is it? Because when you build a building, most of the time, if you're at the end of your workday and you go home and you come back the next day, it's the same way you left it. Right? But when you're building a life, it doesn't work that way. What you invested that day, you can just sleep overnight and come back the next day and be with the same person, and you've lost all kinds of ground in that life. And it has to be recovered and regained and revisited, and it is an agonizing thing to come alongside someone and help them pursue Christ-likeness in their life. That's our word, labor. Take your Bible and go over to Hebrews chapter 12 again. Hebrews chapter 12. So agonizing is involved in pursuing Christian character. The second thing I want you to notice is agonizing is involved in striving against sin. In fact, that's the very word he uses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, it says, you have not yet resisted unto blood. And then you have this phrase, striving against sin. Agony is involved in striving against sin. Whether it's in ourselves or whether it's in others, or whether it's out there in the world, or whether it comes into our churches. And folks, what are we doing? Man, when we stand behind a pulpit, we preach the Word of God without apology. And we say to folks, based on the authority of God's Word, this is what is right and this is what is wrong. What are we doing except striving against sin? And we're all always up against it, right? I'm up against it in myself. And I'm up against it in the lives of the people that come into that church every Lord's Day, evening and morning and Wednesday night. I mean, they bring in to that place with them all kinds of struggles. And there's one place in the world that God has instituted that people can come to and hear the truth about themselves and the truth about God. And that truth can be met with grace, and they can find victory over that sin in their lives. Man, that's what we're up there trying to persuade people to do. We're striving against sin, and it is an agonizing thing. And listen, there's a sense in which we have a lot of job security, right? Because it's going to be ever present until we see him face to face. And so we are involved. That's part of our labor, this matter of striving against sin. Take your Bible and let's look at a third thing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Got to move quicker. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Paul says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much what? Contention, that's our word. With much agony. Agonizing is involved in evangelizing the lost. And is that not a part of our responsibility? That too is a part of our labor. We are responsible to evangelize the lost. Pastor Unruh mentioned the matter of pastoring a church in Greenville, South Carolina. And it is a unique place, granted. And probably one of the things that I ran into coming into Greenville, South Carolina, it's just hard to find unsaved people. Everybody's saved. They go to this church, they go to that church. I tell people, you can leave Faith Baptist, you can leave a church in Greenville, South Carolina, it won't cost you anything. It might cost you a 5-minute drive, a little further, but that's about it. And it's hard to find lost people. And I remember when I came to Greenville and I candidated at the church there at Faith, and I can remember saying to them, and I'll be honest with you, I was trying to say things that would be deal breakers. And what I mean by that is, I was trying to say something to cause them to not be interested in me at all. All right? Because there was a sense in which at one point we went there kind of kicking and screaming with God. But I remember saying to the church, you know, I said that this is a large church, but this is not a healthy church. And that was a Q&A, and I remember a follow-up question. They said, well, Pastor Monroe, why do you think we're not a healthy church? And I said, because you all look the same. You all act the same. You all talk the same. And that just tells me you're not getting the job done as a local church. Listen, if we're in churches where everybody talks the same and dresses the same and acts the same, we're not getting the job done. That's a fact. And that's one of the reasons we started the program for those suffering from addictions, because I wanted to find people who knew they were lost, and I wanted to bring them into our church and have them rub shoulders with our people so that they could remember what it's like to be lost. And they could remember what they've been saved from or saved out of, regardless of what their testimony or story is. But I'll tell you, when we did that, I had to lay a lot of groundwork and challenge our people. And we are learning as a church together that it involves agony to evangelize the lost. And we're seeing, and by the way, that program is probably the strongest evangelistic arm of our church. And it is a wonderful thing. You know, I remember one time, and I have to say this very quickly, I remember one time Pastor Unruh, one of the ladies that was in FTL, and she'd been coming for several months. I don't know if my wife remembers this, but she got up there in the baptismal, and she was giving her testimony before she got baptized. And she started talking about all the babies she'd had and doesn't know whose daddy this baby is or that baby is, and how she struggled with drugs in her life and went from one man to the next man. And then she said, and then God gloriously saved me. And she gave the testimony of the transformation that had taken place in her life. And you said, boy, that's embarrassing. That had to be embarrassing. Do you know what? I got up and I said to the church, when is the last time you heard a testimony like that in this place? And it was a win to me. It was something to celebrate. It involves agony to evangelize the lost. Colossians chapter 1. And we've talked about this, so let me just give you the support passage for it. This idea of perfecting the saints. Colossians 1, verse 29, he says, whereunto I also labor. Okay, Paul, what do you mean labor? Well, let me explain it. Striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And if you go back to the previous verse, you understand what he's talking about in terms of that labor and striving. Warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And he says, that's work, that's agonizing, that's labor, that's striving. Paul agonized to perfect the saints. I'm sure he lost some sleep sometimes doing that. I'm sure he missed some meals sometimes doing that. I'm sure he forego pleasure because the body of Christ demanded certain things from him. In fact, he gave testimony to that kind of thing in his own life. So agony is involved in pursuing Christian character. Agonizing is involved in striving against sin. Agonizing is involved in evangelizing the lost. Agonizing is involved in perfecting the saints. And we're not going to take the time to turn there, but you can do it on your own time. But in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, it speaks of Epaphras, and it says that he, and literally, he agonized in prayer for you. Intercession involves agony. And is that not a part of our ministry as well? Do we not intercede on the behalf of our people to God? You know, that I'm learning, and I don't think I've got it down quite yet, but the only way we can really effectively intercede for someone, I mean really agonize in prayer for them, is to know them, to enter into their life, to lean into their needs. And I'll tell you, when you come to know somebody and you know what they're struggling with and you know some of the losses and crosses, as the old Puritans put it, that are happening in their lives, you come to the point where you really agonize in prayer for them. Have you ever agonized in prayer for someone. And so Aggie is involved in our prayers. Now I want to close this way tonight. Our labor. That captures our life and our ministry. And Paul says, when I look back on all that, when I look back on my life and ministry, here's the way I summarize it. I agonized a good agony. And that was his way of saying, that's what it is. And what are the takeaways for me tonight? Well, here it is. If you feel like ministry is hard, if it feels like agony, you feel that way because it is. It is. It's the nature. It's the character of the labor that we are involved in, the ministry that God has called us to. And this may explain why we feel the way we feel at times in the work, right? I mean, maybe we feel the way we feel, and maybe we need the encouragement that we need from God's Word is because it is this way. It is an agonizing thing if you're doing it right. If you're like me, sometimes you feel guilty that you feel that way. You ever feel guilty that you feel that way? I mean, just this is hard, and man, this is agonizing, and there have been times when you've been tempted to quit or stop or think, is it worth it, and really is the investment worth it, and then you turn around and say, you know, I shouldn't feel this way, and I know it's wrong to feel this way. Well, sometimes you even feel guilty that you feel like it's hard and agonizing. But I just want to say to you tonight, you feel that way, I feel that way, because it is. It is. And I think every single one of us here tonight would want to be able to say what the Apostle Paul said toward the end of his own life when he said, I look back on it all. And you think about everything that's wrapped up when he says, I fought a good fight. Listen, he faced things that none of us have ever faced. But I think at the end of our days, we'd want to be able to say, along with the Apostle Paul, I fought a good fight. Fought a good fight. I agonized a good agony. And maybe this is why the Bible says to every single one of us, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We can't forget we're in a battle. This is warfare. This is not going to be easy. This is agonizing. And so tonight, I just want to encourage you. I don't know if that's an encouragement to you, but it's an encouragement to me that the Bible concedes the point. It just says, yep, you're right. It's hard. And it's not, and I'll close with it, it's not agonizing about the work. That's one thing. It's agonizing in the work. And this is what God has called us to do.